Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Did you watch last night's, I don't even know what to call it, update? It certainly wasn't a communication because he spoke at us for the best part of 10 minutes. I believe that's how long it was. I lasted about 5 or 6 minutes and then got bored. But also, to be fair, he was 36 minutes late or 37 minutes late. 37 minutes late for a 10-minute talk and then told us what he could have told us in an email or a press release. So why the performative stance? Kenneth Mokgatle is a political writer and an analyst. Kenneth, good morning. Why did we need to go through that whole pretense of communication when he really just needed to give a very short press release?
Yes, good morning, Howard, and to the listeners of IFM. I think by now we should know the approach of ANC, especially when it comes to corruption since 1994. They have not really offered action when it comes to fighting corruption. And this is the man who came in 2017 on a corruption crusade faction within the ANC, that he was going to fight the corruption that was mainly caused by Jacob Zuma and those who were in cahoots with him. To our dismay, he is more tolerant of corruption than we have ever seen. So whatever approach he has given last night, this is what we are used to, because even during Jacob Zuma's tenure, we saw many commission of inquiry, which obviously costed a lot of millions coming out from the pockets of the taxpayers, and we have not, until today, we have not seen the benefit of those commission of inquiry. Today he set up another commission of inquiry on top of the many others which we have not really seen their effectiveness. So I don't think that this commission of inquiry will also bear fruit as we have seen with the past ones. But I think Cyril Ramaphosa missed a moment or an opportunity to redeem the ANC. He came in with the slogan of renewing the ANC. And yesterday was just that day, and he just missed it. So we now know that the renewal song is just a rhetoric and a pipe dream, because it is not accompanied by any rigorous or practical action from his side. So the reason why he has not taken a firm stance against corruption is because he, by extension, has been benefiting from it. We know that Senzo Mtunu, the minister who was implicated in the allegations brought by a KZN commissioner of the SAPS, we know that he was the one who protected Cyril Ramaphosa. He's the one who said that the report, the Palapala report, was actually classified. And by now, we don't have access to such a report.
Is it enough to just suspend Mkunu and to say that there's going to be this commission of inquiry?
We often hear the ANC comrades when they say that it is the president who have got the powers, or they are serving at the behest of the president. So those people who are in the cabinet, who are appointed by the president, they don't have power or rights to go and approach the CCMA if they are fired. So it is Cyril Ramaphosa, we have got the power given to him by the Constitution to can take any action against those who are accused of any wrongdoing. But he failed that test yesterday, because what we now have is that we have two ministers. They are both going to be paid. The one is called the acting minister, and then we have got the other one who was given a special leave. So it is the South Africans who are going to make sure that these two ministers are paid. So we don't even know if that is constitutional, because what he needed to do was to fire this minister and bring the full-time minister who is going to serve, because we have got the members of parliament. And as he was saying yesterday, he's also given the power by the constitution to appoint any two who are non-members of parliament. So he failed to do that because he wanted to also appease Senzo Mchunu, because he knows that what is at stake if he's not going to appease Senzo Mchunu. So it was not enough on the side of South Africans, because South Africans, as we have seen, they are receptive on this national dialogue. They are tired of talking. What they want is to see action coming out of the executive. So they want to see their lives being impacted. So now you are going to have another commission of inquiry. And on the parallel, you also have the national dialogue, people talking and without any action given by them, as the constitution
It's so bizarre, because they have to know that the level of trust that people have in the ANC is at an all-time low, which means you've got to do something to signal that this is going to be different. He could have come on time. That would have been different, to show that he's taking it seriously. He didn't do that. He could have allowed the press in to ask questions of him and to address it that way. He didn't do that. He really did absolutely nothing to give the people of the country any signals that this is going to be different to any other inquiry or commission of inquiry that we've seen in the past. Why do you think that is, that they don't see how low this level of trust is?
I think it's an I don't care attitude, and it also shows, it reflects that he how unpatriotic he is. I mean, just few weeks ago, you had Zelensky coming in our country, and then there were problems in his country, and he had to cut his trip short. And also during the G20, you've seen how Donald Trump reacted to the crisis in the Middle East. He did not stay. He had to cut this trip short and go and deal with the national interest of the USA. And here is the man who is attending the BRICS summit. And he hear that his country is facing a national security threat. But he still stays in that country, completes the BRICS summit meeting. He comes in. The first meeting he had was the national dialogue, to talk about the national dialogue, and we had to wait 7 more days to wait for him telling us that he's not going to take any action against those who are alleged to have been implicated in the wrongdoing. And because we are so used to this inaction from the executive. And he also does not care about how the ANC is faring or have been faring, and how they are how this is going to affect the next coming elections, because surely he's serving the last term in, and he does not care about what will happen to his party after he has left, like all his predecessors. So it shows you that he also does not have confidence in his own party, because if he had, he would have appointed somebody in the parliament or in the legislature as the minister or as the acting minister of the police. But he had to go out and grab some academic or an intellectual from the university and bring them forth to act, because he does not have confidence in his own party, or he knows that many of those in his party have been implicated in the wrongdoing. And this also shows you the inconsistencies within the ANC, the factions within the ANC. He has been able to protect those in his faction since 2017 until to date, and he's unable to take action when it comes to them, but he has been able to act when it came to the likes of Karl Nias, the likes of Ace Magashule, well, and those exactly. who are not in
when,
his camp, but those who are in his camp, yes, the Gwedeman Tashes, the Nomvula Mkwanyani, and others who are very proximate to him, he's able to protect them.
Kenneth, we do need to leave it there. Thank you, as always. Kenneth Mokgatle is a political writer, analyst, and a researcher, talking to us about Ramaphosa's national address.